Welcome back to Techonomics. My name is Jason Middleton. I first met Megan Smith 3 years ago when she was speaking at the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce. She had just stepped down from running Google's Moonshot project. It's called Google X. You probably heard of it. She left that amazing gig for a different kind of amazing to become the chief of technology for President Obama, the third such time a CTO has been appointed. Megan Smith and her top deputy, Alex McGillivray, joined me for a phone chat prior to their being awarded the Distinguished Citizens Award from the Commonwealth Club of California. Here's part one of our conversation around the spirit of collaboration they brought from Silicon Valley to the White House, as well as design thinking as a way forward for, well, for problem solving and almost everything else.
Megan Smith, and I'm the third United States Chief Technology Officer. Was assistant to the president under President Obama. I'm an entrepreneur and an engineer.
Alex McGillivray. These days I'm a citizen, but I was deputy chief technology officer of the U.S. government.
Well, thank you both for joining me this morning. Let's not bury the lead. Okay, you two are going to receive the Distinguished Citizen Award. That's on Friday, March the 3rd at the Commonwealth Club's Distinguished Citizen Gala here in San Francisco. Now, one of the criteria for that award is, quote, dedicating your lives to making the world a better place. That's pretty high cotton. So you both accomplished a lot in a brief time, including a justice initiative, a police initiative, a disaster response initiative. And there's just too much here for me to list in this format. So I'm going to be kind of unfair to start off and ask you each to pick a favorite child, if you will. What are you most proud of when it comes to your work in the tech office during President Obama's administration? And Megan, I think we should start with you.
Yeah, it really comes from the president driving. It's a word I made up called TQ, like IQ and EQ, so tech quotient. And it was really a broad brush of adding techies and tech thinking into any room we could get into, policy or capacity building, the government, the American people, all of that work. And so, you know, how can we have everybody have all different kinds of cues, like Lorraine Jobs' work on next generation high schools, et cetera. So it's sort of this tech quotient that we want to have with all of our children, with ourselves, that confidence we need, and bringing it into our government so that in this 21st century where these technologies are so important, just like other topics, they're equally seated at the table, not kind of left out of the room for implementation only.
That's perfect. We'll circle back on inclusion. Now, Alex, what about you? What did you like to see cross the finish line or cross the goal line?
I think the biggest thing for me is always the team. So the fact that we got to bring in some just amazing folks from the tech industry, from the academia, from other parts of government, folks like Ed Felton, DJ Patil, Corey Zarek, Laura Weidman Powers. These are really top folks. Seeing them work together as a team is always what gets me going. I think in terms of substantively, what I would say is just, as Megan said, the bringing TQ into policymaking, tons and tons of stuff like the open source policy, just making it so that the technology is kind of like water for the federal government.
Now, you both were high-ranking officers with the Obama administration, and of course, there's been a pivot since then. And I'm wondering, what did you leave behind as far as maybe advice or a memo or something to the incoming administration to hopefully pick up on some of the work that you had started, were not able to finish maybe, or maybe stuff that needs to be iterated? Was there anything that stood out there?
Yeah, definitely. And in fact, you know, just the techies kind of in the government date back all the way to President Washington, who started the Army Corps of Engineers. But at any given time, the president of the United States and his or her team needs people who are scientific, technical, just like economics and lawyers and others. And so whether it was Wiesner and the Moonshot or Vannevar Bush, which started NSF, science advisor, we were in the Office of Science, Technology, Policy. Dr. Holdren was President Obama's science advisor. And then what President Obama has added us, the chief technology officer job, I'm the third. The idea was to have this disruptive techie entrepreneur also in there together with the science advisor and build the capacity for this time. And so what that looked like this time was, in terms of, let's say, capacity building the U.S. government, President Obama created with him the Presidential Innovation Fellows. Think of that like an entrepreneur in residence in government. You know, Kennedy created the Peace Corps characters, you know, Johnson with the White House Fellows. Now there's this digital techie design thinker, product manager, front-end coder, back-end, who's always had more than 100 of them. The next group is just about to start. And so that's a year-long tour of duty, and it's a real thing, and it's flowing across government all in all the different departments. In terms of our exit memo stuff, our team worked on not only that capacity building, also lots of stuff about TQ or techies and policy, as AMAC Alex was saying, around open source and artificial intelligence preparations and open data, open government. And then the bucket of capacity building American people, that stuff's all written up in the OSTP, Office Science Technology Policy Exit Memo. We also left a TQM government memo. Mm-hmm. We left a memo called Try This at Home. It's all up there. And all of the Obama stuff, just to list, is under Obama, whitehouse.archives.gov, if you want to see those documents, because all the secretaries wrote exit memos.
But Alex, what about you when it comes to thoughts of legacy, when it comes to transferring things from the office you used to occupy to the new administration?
I think, as Megan mentioned, there are these structures that were put in place by the CTO team over time, and then there's this philosophy, which is in that exit memo that she referenced. I think the other thing that I would say is that too often, especially those outside of government, sort of think about these transitions as being wholesale line changes, like in a hockey team, whereas really the majority of folks stick around government to government and serve no matter who is at the head. And there are lots and lots of great technologists within government, and the majority of those are still around doing their job and shipping.
You know, Megan mentioned in an answer, and earlier off air, Alex, you said something too about design thinking. And Megan, I saw you speak at the SF Chamber a few years ago, and right after your presentation about STEM and design thinking, I put my daughter on a wait list for a different type of school. It's a public charter school.
Yay.
Yeah, in Oakland. Thank you for that advice you gave us, me, and the rest of the room of 400. But she's thriving in that, and we have STEM posters, women in STEM posters on her walls, and she's 7. And I'm wondering, like, what are you seeing as far as STEM and design thinking curricula since then, since the 3 years since I've seen you speak on it?
Yeah, it's a really exciting time and great work looking around. You know, I went to a public school in Buffalo that we had no money, but we have fabulous teachers who made science fair mandatory so that we not only were learning facts of science and other things that other people do, but we had to do projects ourselves. It's this idea called active STEM. And you want children, and actually all of us, if we're learning technology or science, you know, you don't go into the gym class and you're going to learn baseball and the teacher says, open your textbook, right? So why should we teach science, tech, engineering, math? These are very collaborative, fun things, but we make everyone feel like this is boring or this is really intimidating. You know, people like me don't do this. Lots of stereotypes. And so exactly as you did for your daughter, whether it's moving schools or finding the teachers who are those project management, you know, project focused, project time kind of teachers for science, just like, you know, you would do in an art room, really critical. So it's Oscar weekend, and it's so exciting to see the movie Hidden Figures, you know, up for Best Picture. For me, you know, independent of what, of course, the Academy decides, I feel like it's won this year because we're showing it to children and adults and everybody across the world. The truth is all people on the planet, no matter what background you come from, have always been extraordinarily talented in contributing to science, tech, and math. But we got a lot of stereotypes in our media just we got in the wrong position. And so we continue. Gina Davis has done so much work around that, where she even measured who does computer science in children's TV. And it turns out it's 15-1 boy programmers to girl programmers who are kind of animated or cast accidentally by, you know, our media makers without them really noticing their unconscious bias. So I feel like we're making really good strides to really begin transforming who we show doing what that really builds confidence. We know from results that works. And then the other thing is just there's fabulous master teachers out there that are really getting a foothold in the public schools and the charter schools and any kinds of schools. We also are seeing things like Tech Hire. There's now 70 cities who are doing code boot camps. You know, you said your daughter's in Oakland. The Oakland teams have people like Telegraph Academy and others. Mm-hmm. And the workforce development people are paying attention and flowing people into these tech places. So this is for all ages. How do we make sure that everybody knows how to, let's call it, play the whole orchestra together so that we can solve some of these great problems? And as you said, for us, AMAC and I are in the crew that loves to use science and technology to make the world a better place. Let's make sure people also use those instruments, just like, you know, you're doing with fabulous communications, or someone might be doing with economics or with writing.
That was Megan Smith, Alex McGillivray, and me, Jason Middleton, talking about the legacy of the Chief Technology Office and the value of collaboration when it comes to what Silicon Valley refers to as GSD. That is get stuff done, let's say. Coming up after the break, we're going to take a look at a continuing theme of universal basic income. And during the conversation, Megan Smith invents a new phrase that I think we're all going to be appropriating pretty soon.
So we started to act a lot more like the venture capitalists do. You know, the venture capitalist doesn't make Twitter or Dropbox. They find that entrepreneur and come up underneath them and accelerate them. So venture capital. So we thought, how do you venture catalyze things?
That's coming up next on Techonomics. I'm Jason Middleton. Please come on back.